Good morning. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to Mark chapter 14 this morning. Mark chapter number 14. Actually, it's the plan to stay in Mark chapter 14 and some of the other passages around this story all day today. Mark chapter number 14 has a lot. We had mentioned we might do some more in Mark 13, and we're going to maybe do that in future weeks. But today we're going to spend in Mark chapter number 14, centered around one specific story. Let's see here, announcement-wise, so there's some different things going on around the church we want to make you aware about. There is our faith promise total so far is up to over 60,000. Today's the last day to turn in faith promise cards. There is some back there on the offering plate table. You can just drop in the offering plate as they go by today, or you can just turn them in by setting it back there inside one of the offering plates. Outreach Saturdays is coming Saturday. Let me encourage you to be here and be a part of that. Starts at 10 o'clock. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper March 24th, like we do most years, the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. Super Saturday coming up March 30th. That's from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. That is a activity for our junior church age group. Then we have a Resurrection Sunday details that are there. We have our special program called God's Holy Lamb. It's at 10 o'clock that Sunday morning. And then we'll be having a Sunday evening service. There's also an announcement in there about the ladies' retreat. We'll be having a meeting about the ladies' retreat March 24th after the evening service. And so thank you for being here this morning. As I mentioned, we are going to be staying focused on one specific passage of scripture today. Unless we get through it all, most of it's going to be Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and just different parts of it. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read three different things when it comes to the story, three different stories about it, and then we're going to look at some different thoughts about it. The main thrust of the message is about when Mary of Bethany comes and anoints the head of Jesus, the feet of Jesus. And we're going to look at it's written three different times inside the New Testament, and some really great stuff here. I think that will be really encouraging to you. But we're going to kind of lay a foundation. If you're here in Sunday school, you're going to be able to continue to build upon the foundation. Each message definitely has different specific separate things that will be applied to our lives today. So let's start Mark chapter 14, and what we're going to look at this morning, for the most part, is a stark difference or a stark contrast, meaning something that looks completely different. And I'll explain that in just a second. Mark chapter 14, I'm going to read verses. I'm going to go all the way down to verse number 12. It says, verse number 1, after 2 days was the feast of the Passovers and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft or and put him to death. So this is they're trying to figure out how to kill Jesus. This is talking about the religious leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, verse number 2. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. So you see here a dark time. You see there's a group of men here who are supposed to be religious leaders. We already gone through the Gospel of Mark, almost all the way through it. These are bad guys. They don't care about God. They don't care about things of God. They hate Jesus. They want to put Jesus to death. All these different things. They come to this point and they come to this moment and they says, look, we got to make sure we do it at the right time because we don't want there to be an uproar. They don't want to start a controversy. And in all reality, if they were going to do truth and want to live for truth, then they wouldn't have to worry about the controversy because doing what's right is always right. Verse number 3, we are brought into what I consider one of the most beautiful stories of all the Bible. And it's the story of how Mary of Bethany, and I'm going to tell you why I think it's Mary of Bethany in a second when we look in John chapter number 12, breaks the alabaster box of ointment over Jesus. That's what it says in verse number 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. So we do not know who Simon the leper is. Many people have some different thoughts about it. Obviously, we believe it's someone who was healed by Jesus before, because if he was a man that had leprosy, he would not be going to his house. So obviously, it's that person that has been healed by Jesus. He's there. And he says, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. You notice that he says on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? This woman does it out of a love for God And you can see how God commends her in a second. We see that there is in verse number 4 and verse number 5, individuals who are murmuring. It says, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her." So we say, what's 300 pence? 300 pence is a lot of money. A pence is what a normal daily worker would make. So you think about it, in our day and time, we have 365 days in our year. And we think of those 50, there's 52 weeks. Normally people get 2 days off a week. So your work day is normally, your work year usually is 5 days, 5 times 52. Then you take out different holidays that you might have. So it's around 250. So in our thought process, if you're an average worker and all those different things, even if they got paid $10 an hour, you add up those things, it's, you know, it's a lot of money that you're talking about. Probably more than anything, if we say a low amount would be somewhere around $25,000 or $30,000. And that's how much this Spikenard, and so that's why these, they're disappointed, they're upset, and they're murmuring. It says in verse number 5, "For it might have been sold for the poor than more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her." Verse number 6, Jesus said, now look at how Jesus responds to it. "Let her alone." Then he says, "Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work." So you got that there. Jesus looks at it as a good work. Now you're going to see in just a minute that it's Judas that's complaining, Judas that's whining. And we know that the reason why Judas does this is because he's the guy that keeps the money. He was a thief. He was hoping to skim some off the top. And so he's disappointed. Hey, she just gave a donation of $30,000 and she just used it for one time, for one moment. We could have done something better with that. And he's saying, well, I could have taken some and done something with that money. And he says, verse number 7, "For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, ye have not always." Trying to rush a little bit because we're going to try to get through all three passages and then look at each spot. "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him." So we see in the story here, Judas gets corrected. Judas doesn't like what's happening. And then instead he hears about the bearing. And then he's like, okay, I need to go. I need to get as much money out of this as I can. So he goes to betray Jesus. Let's go to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12, you hear a story here about something similar happening. And there's some commentators that would make a case as two different incidents. And I understand the reason why they think that. After looking at it throughout this week and studying and agreeing with most commentators, they think it's the same story. And that when it gives a specific day and time in chapter number 12 and does not give a specific day in Mark and Matthew's accounts, not everything is done chronologically in order. So I guess believe it's done in a Matthew, Mark doesn't have a chronological order, and that Jesus's feet and head were both anointed. It says, "Then Jesus said," here in chapter 12, verse number 1, "Then Jesus said, Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." Now, it does not say it's Martha's house, but it does say Martha's doing the serving. It does not say it's Lazarus's house. In Mark, we saw it was Simon the leper's house. One guy that I was reading tried to make sense of it by saying Simon the leper must have been the father of Lazarus. Never seen that anywhere else, but that's the reason why this house is at Simon the leper's house, and Martha could have been there, the one that's serving. And I don't know who Simon the leper is. The Bible doesn't speak about that, but it's interesting how someone thought that. And it says, verse number 3, and it says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard." Now, Mary, if I ask you, who was your favorite lady Bible character? We might hear Mary. We might Mary, Mother of Jesus. We might hear Esther. We might hear Ruth. We might hear all types of things. But, you know, here, this is my favorite. And we only see her mentioned three different times in the Bible, and the three different times that are found in the Bible, she's always at the feet of Jesus. We see she has a wonderful reputation. She is the one that's living, and we're going to see a lot of different reasons today why, like Mary of Bethany. It says, there then made him a supper, in verse number 2, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus. Once again, it is different. I'm not trying to say that I think that she anointed the head, but she also anointed the feet. The feet is something that would always be anointed around this time to wash off the feet, but she does it with the ointment. And then also it's put here because it says, and wiped his feet with her hair. This is very significant. Usually people, those ladies in those days, would keep their hair in a way, and she lets her hair down and be able to wipe the feet with the hair. And the house was filled, and I love this, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So we come to a spot that the whole house is filled, not just the room, the house is filled. Verse number 4 is what I want you to look at. Then say, if one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. So we see he was the originator of the person that's complaining. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. So it's there in John chapter 12. It's Judas. Judas was not asking because he cared for the poor, because he was a thief. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing, she has kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. I would find it hard to believe that Judas said that two different times within a few days time period. That's why I believe it's the same story. Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. One more spot, Matthew chapter 26. Very similar to Mark's, but there is something I want all your attention to in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter number 26, we see here in the story, it begins in verse number 6. Chapter 26, verse number 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box. We believe that to be Mary of Bethany. Box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head. Also, we learn in John chapter 12, also on his feet, as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. It's interesting here, you mark where it says disciples. John chapter 12, we see that it's only Judas that's complaining. Saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Verse number 14, it says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto him, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. I want what I'm interested in you seeing in this story is gives a couple of things I alluded to, but in verse number 15, this thought, what will you give me? What will you give me? So let's take our Bibles now back to Mark chapter 14. We've read all three stories of Mary Bethany anointing the head and anointing the feet of Jesus. If you feel like it's a different lady that was inspired by Mary of Bethany to do it later on, I'm not going to argue with about it. A couple of the good commentators I enjoy reading thought that. The majority of people I read fall on the same line that it's Mary of Bethany, same story. It's just, it's not done in chronological order. You say, why in the world would it not be done in chronological order? And I think the reason why is because there is a stark contrast that's given here. It's in a timeline, not showing chronological order, but instead showing you evil, good, and evil, Mark. The evil that's found in verses 1 and 2 in the scribes and Pharisees, and the evil that's found in the story about Judas Iscariot. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dearly Father, Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that each person in this room, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, that not one person would not be able to receive something from your word today, or this such a beautiful story. We think that this woman was able to give so much because she loved you. And Lord, I pray that in our heart's desire today would be, Lord, I want to hear from your word today. It doesn't matter who's speaking, doesn't matter who's listening or what's being said, but Lord, would you speak to my heart today? And Lord, I pray that each person here today would receive a blessing from this message and from the messages that come from such a great story. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here's what my thought is for Sunday school. And like I said, we're going to build on it. And Sunday morning, we're going to talk about that phrase, she have done what she could. We're going to look at things that she could not do, things that we can do. It's going to be great. At least I think it is, because it's what the Lord laid upon my heart. But today, I want you to see the stark contrast between Judas and Mary of Bethany. Judas and Mary of Bethany. First thing I want you to think about is, I want you to think about the difference of their desires. The difference of their desires. Sometimes I wish I could see inside people's hearts and wonder why they serve the Lord or why they come to church. Because you would be shocked, I mean shocked, about the reason why people come and why people show up. And the reason why they're part of something. It would amaze you. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Well, it's obvious, number one, but number two, there's been times in my life I didn't come to church for the right reasons. There were times in my life, never here because I've never counted these tiles, but at my church back home, used to look at things and count, just waiting for things to get done, maybe as a child or as a teenager. And there are times when I came for the wrong reasons, but then there's times I do it out of love because I want to hear from the Lord. It would be shocked, but I see the difference in desires of one man, Judas, and then another lady here, Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany is getting ready to perform, I believe, one of the greatest acts of worship, one of the greatest acts of praise. And we come to the spot where we think what worship is and what sacrifice is, I don't think we really even know what that means many times is. And we're going to look at a little bit of that as we have time in the Sunday morning message. But I want you to see the stark differences. We saw in verse number 15 that Judas, in Matthew 26, 15, he asked this question, "What will you give me?" That was what he was interested in. What can you give me? What is it, God, I want to know what you're going to give me. He wasn't going to get what he wanted from Jesus. So what does he do? He goes to the religious leaders. He goes to the scribes and says, what in the world can you give me? But then we see Mary, and she is mentioned that Jesus says to her, it says in verse number 6, she have wrought a good work on me. So what was the desire? So what was the difference? Judas was in it for himself. Judas was in it to what he could get out of it. Judas was even willing to step beyond what was right, steal from the bag, as it said in John chapter number 12, also cause people to question another person's good work, plus go behind Jesus's back and go to the chief priests and go to the scribes and be willing to betray this man. So we see there's two different desires in these people's lives. First, we see Judas's desire. Judas's desire is to get what I can out of it. And once again, that's not what church is about. What can it do for me? What can I do to receive something for myself? What is it that I can? Now, I understand we want to hear from the Lord and we want to receive what God has intended for us at a church. But I think you understand what I'm saying. When somebody looks at it as a business opportunity to be, hey, if I become a member of the larger church, maybe my business may grow, or a politician that may come to church and say, hey, maybe you get my votes, or, you know, there's different people that say, hey, what can I get out of this church? Where can I serve? What type of title? What type of this or that? Judas is saying, if this relationship with Jesus was, what can I get out of this? And when he was not getting what he thought he was going to get, he betrays Jesus. Now, Mary, somebody completely oppositely different. Consider Mary in the story. Once again, we meet Mary three different times that we know of. Each of the time she's at the feet of Jesus. One of the times she's at the feet of Jesus before he raises Lazarus from the dead. And she speaks to Jesus. One of the times we know that familiar story. Brother Christian preached on it a month or two ago about Martha and Mary and they're serving. Where's she at? She's at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus commends her and says, you know, she has chosen that needful thing. And now we see her once again out of a form of worship and a love for God. And I love the story of Mary here because she is the only one that we see that understands that Jesus is getting ready to die. Jesus has been telling his disciples leading up to it. They don't have anything to do with it. They don't want to hear about it. Even when Jesus is dying, even the night before his death, even their actions leading up to it. They didn't want to believe when they even saw the empty tomb. At least some of them did. You know, all those different things. Mary seems like she's the only one that listened, that we know from the scriptures, and had enough faith to trust the Lord to come beforehand. Now imagine, she loves Jesus. She worships Jesus. She listens to Jesus. Jesus has commended her for her actions. She does not know how to handle that Jesus is getting ready to die. It's an impossible circumstance. She Jesus is going, imagine what Jesus is going through, and what is her desire? Her whole desire, her whole being was, I want to do a good work for him. I want to worship him. I want to show him that there's someone who loves him. I want to show him that there's someone who understands. And even though there's nothing I can do about it, and we're going to look at it this morning, she couldn't stop the Roman soldiers. She couldn't do this, and she couldn't do that, and she couldn't do that. But there was something that she could do. She could come and she could worship Jesus. She could come and she could show Jesus that you mean more to me than anything. This is the most precious thing I have. This alabaster box of ointment is something that many times people would save, and they would save till they're buried. That would be one of the most valuable, especially if she's a single lady, which tradition tells us she's a single lady that's there, probably the most valuable possession she had. And she came and she broke open the box, and she broke open, she anointed his head, she anointed his feet, she wiped it off with her hair. She did that out of complete love, a complete desire to just say, I love the Lord, I don't understand what's going on, I don't know why this is happening, but guess what? This is all I know to do, and I'm just going to do everything I know to do. Do you see the difference? You see the difference of one person that says, what can I get out of it? I'm going to do what helps me. I'm going to do what makes me feel good. I'm going to do what makes me look good. And that's what he says, what will you give me? He goes up to his religious leader and says, what will you give me? What can you do for me? What is it that's going to help me? And then you see Mary of Bethany over here, just out of love and desire. It's a stark difference. Many times it's a stark difference why people come to church and why they serve the Lord. What can I get out of it? What will you give me? What position? What do you have for my family? What is it that you're going to do for me when this happens? Or what are you going to do for me when this happens? And don't get me wrong, the church should be there in certain ways, I understand all that. But real worship is, I don't understand everything that's going on, but I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to love you. This way, no greater way. The second thing I want you to think about is not only is there a stark difference between their desires, or something also I want you to see here. He makes a comment that's found in chapter 14. Look again, verse number 4. And he says, and there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this? Anybody know what that next word is? Waste. Now you think about it. Look at the stark difference with the resources they had. Think about that. Who walked with Jesus for the 3 years? Judas did. Who had all those opportunities? Judas did. Who was, obviously he was trustworthy enough, at least he was put there and he had the money in the bag. You think about it. He calls this, what she had done, a waste. And who was the waste? It was Judas. And we turn around and sometimes people who love the Lord and people who want to worship the Lord and people who want to sacrifice the Lord, they see things differently. There are times when I hear people who are good people, who are in church and who are faithful, and they have not joined the group that I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart. Because when you want to sacrifice the Lord and what your true desire is to worship him and to lift him up, sometimes things look different. Sometimes things look different than it might on paper. Sometimes it just might not make sense. Does that make sense to anybody giving $30,000 for a few moments? Most people would be saying, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. So what does Jesus say? Jesus says, she hath wrought a good work on me. And sometimes when people go out of their way to be a blessing and encouragement that God has laid something upon their heart, they turn around and they just want to be critical. They want to shake their heads. They wanted this. They don't want that. God hasn't set us up to try to convince ourselves to sit there and be somebody's judge and character, this or that. You know, Mary was there and it was called a waste. But Jesus said it was a good work. I want you to think about it. Which one was the waste? And I'm not picking on Judas. Judas walked with him for 3 years. Judas saw more miracles than Mary did. Judas heard more messages than Mary did. Judas had the opportunity to serve along with Jesus more than Mary did. He had all the things open to him, and it was a waste. He left it all behind. He walked it away and says, this is not what I want. To our knowledge, we see three times. Now, obviously, he raised her brother from the dead. That's pretty great. That's pretty powerful. But Judas saw that too. And what did he do with the opportunities? He wasted it. What did she do with the opportunities she had? She gave all that she could. What are you going to do with your lives? Are we going to waste it? I look across the room, the majority of people are here. They're here regular, multiple times a week. That's where we should be. That's good. Don't waste what God's given you. Some people look at young people, and I've had a few people, I think good people, look and tell my son, you sure you want to go to the mission field? Don't you think you could do something better around here? And they really honestly believe he's going to waste his life. And I've heard people say that. It's so wrong. It's so wrong. You should do whatever the Lord wants you to do. He's not saying that you need to go to mission field, not go to mission field. Somebody, when Andrew was talking about what college, you're going to a Bible college. Don't you think it'd be better to go to a university that was accredited or a state university to get a different type of degree? And I understand what they're saying. You should follow the Lord. And I'd rather go to a place, someone who loves the Lord and someone who wants to serve the Lord and all those other things. You know, some people look at things and say, well, that's a waste. It's not a waste. When they tell you, hey, you're giving your tithes, you're wasting it. You're not wasting, you're investing. First of all, you're being obedient, but you're investing. People say, missions, why do you get a mission? That's a waste. They just don't understand. And the people that want to worship and the people that want to sacrifice, they see things differently. They understand things differently. They get it differently. They look at their lives and it connects themselves with God. It connects themselves with the gospel. And that's why you have some people who are willing to give it all and willing to worship and willing to do all these things and be spent. And whether it's Bible character after Bible character, it's people that we know in our lives that they've just did everything they could and they poured their complete life into it. And that's when they said that was a waste, where God looks at it and says, that was a good work that they did. They have wrought a good work unto me. Third thing I want you to think about and see is the difference between their influences. Look at their influences. I had you notice it in John chapter 4 when it was Judas alone that was saying something. I also had you in Matthew, Mark, where it said, or notice it said disciples. Here in Mark, it actually says, it said in verse number 4, and there was some that had indignation. It wasn't just one. It was some that had indignation within themselves. Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And you see that word they. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? It started with Judas. He used his influence to make a complaint about a good work, and other people chimed in. What are you using your influence on today? I've seen it happen. I've seen it where people will complain about good work, complain about something that's happening, and other people, oh yeah. Sometimes it's like people just want to jump on something. They just want to find something to complain about. They want to find something to murmur about. And that's exactly what happens here. Jesus looks at this woman and says, what she did was a good work. Judas says it's a waste. Not only Judas, then what happens? Verse number in Matthew, the disciples. Here, they. He used his influence. What's the stark difference? What's Mary's influence look like? Look what it says in verse number 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. We're going to look at that tonight a little bit. But that's their influences. What do we remember Judas by? One of the worst villains of all time. And in this story, he says, it's going to be talked about forever. There's a difference in our influences. We have the opportunity to have influence here. They had the opportunity to learn and serve and be a part of. So look at the stark differences that are here. You see the difference in their desire. You see the difference in how they use their resources. And we see the difference in the influence. How are you using your influences today? Yesterday in our men's prayer time, I gave the devotion. And I enjoyed the devotion. I'm going to reiterate a few things that we heard yesterday. And for the few men that were here yesterday, that was not, you can hear it again. It wasn't that many that was there. We had about 10, which is wonderful. But it talked about a disaster that happened in the oceans. It talks about on August 12th in 2000, that there was, the Russians were doing some type of war games. Something happens, there's a torpedo that was supposed to be a test torpedo, ended up firing and damaging one of the submarines. The submarine went down to the bottom of the ocean. There's 118 crew members that are there. The world hears about it. The world goes to Russia, offers them help. Russia says, no, I don't want any help. And Russia says they can take care of themselves. But after a week at the bottom of the ocean, the Russian divers finally reached the boat. It's called the Kursk. They found no signs of life. All 118 men aboard were dead. When the Kursk was finally raised the following September, most of the front portion of the submarine was left on the ocean floor, rendering it impossible to accurately assess what went wrong. Russia didn't want any help. They said, no, we don't want, and it was because of their pride, maybe because they were trying to cover something up, we don't know. 118 men, people lost their lives. This is in one of those devotion books that we gave to the military this past Veterans Day. And here, I want to read the paragraph that that the gentleman wrote. It says, just as pride kept Russians from accepting help, a Christian's pride might often prevent him or her from recovering the help and encouragement God wants to send them. God created man for fellowship, primarily with himself, but also with one another. The Word of God instructs us to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. When such overtures of help are refused, the one needing help will suffer in the long run. As Psalm 73:6 says, pride compasseth them about as a chain. The Kursk crew could have survived this disaster at sea if Russia had accepted help. Unfortunately, the chains of pride kept them in the ocean depths far longer than the life-giving oxygen allowed. Don't let the chains of pride steal your joy as a Christian. Allow others to help you and encourage you. So I'm going to get to where how this applies to Judas and Mary here in a second. But think about that. 118 people had to die just because they didn't want to help. And I mentioned to the men yesterday, you ever been around somebody that seems like they're struggling? And they just don't want help. They push it away. Nope, don't want that. Even though the Bible tells us God has made our church family in a way that will, and it says in Hebrews 10:24, consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So he has put us in each other's lives to encourage one another, to provoke one another to good works. As we think about the influence of Judas, provoking them to do wrong, Mary's testimony lasting forever. And the thought process is here. You ever been around somebody that is struggling, spiraling? And you go over to help and they're like, no, don't want it. Don't have any interest in it. Hey, can we talk? No, I'm good. Can we do that? And we've reached out. We all have had people that. We've seen people heading down the wrong road. And we try to put up billboards. You try to put out signs. You're headed the wrong direction. Hey, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. No, no, no. And that's where the pride comes in. It says that pride compasses them out as a chain. It's just holding them back. And that's what I want to encourage. And I told the church family, I've met people, I can tell you people today, even told them the story recently, how somebody had said something on a text message. I don't want any more help. Stop this. You know, me just trying to encourage them. And how many times we've tried to reach out to people over and over, and they just said, nope, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. And they spiral. And you see it happening. You say, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Nope. And then you continue on, and the Lord spoke my heart this week about, and that's what our men's prayer times are. We have a 5 to 7 minute devotion that talks about God. That there's been times in my life I've pushed people away. I needed some encouragement. I needed some edification. I needed someone to provoke me to good works. No, I'm good. Nope, I don't want that. The reason why God has given us a church family is to provide to be an encouragement to one another, edify one another, not to do what Judas is and get other people to say, well, you know, this is wrong, you know, and God's looks at it as a good work, but they're sitting there saying, no, and looking at it from the negative. No, instead, we should provoke, we should encourage, and that's what Mary does. Mary doesn't know what in the world to do, but she knows she loves the Lord and how she does it, and she encourages him through. Don't push people away if people are trying to help. You've been pushed away before. I've been pushed away before. We've seen how people have spiraled out, and we see this is not going to end good unless something changes. Remember, we sow what we reap. See, how does that apply to Judas? I think about in the story, and we're getting ready as we get closer and closer to Resurrection Day and how when Jesus rose from the dead, how many times Judas had a chance to get right? In the garden, it says that he called him a friend and kissed him. You know, and he betrays out of the Son of Man with a kiss. You know, Jesus, he calls him a friend. And then even at when they're next week, we're going to look at probably Sunday night because we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. We're sitting at the dinner table. Judas says, "Is it I?" And Jesus, like, you know, kind of says, "Hey, go do what you got to do quickly." He knew all about it. He even looks and says in that story about, and I'm not going to quote exactly, about the man who betrayeth him. It'd be better for him if he had never been born. I mean, that's directed right to Judas. Judas, get it right. Time again, and he listened to Jesus teach over and over. What's the stark contrast here? There is one who's not listening, and there's one who just wants to listen. There's one who walked with him and talked with him and held the bag and watched the miracles and served, fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000, which was more like 15,000 and 20,000, seen all those things happen, seen the raising the dead, but did not want to hear. Then there was one that could not get enough. I'm sure there was more than just three times Mary met Jesus, but I'm pretty sure that each of the times she was interested in what he had to say. And when I thought about the devotion was, our church family should be a place where we can encourage one another and provoke together. The only way that's going to happen is if we're right with the Lord. Because if not, we can look the part like Judas did. He looked like the part. They asked that question. They said they all asked that question. Is it I at that table? Because no one said, "Well, I know it's got to be Judas because he's the guy." No one thought that. He looked the part, but there was a stark difference in his desires. There was a stark difference in how he looked at resources. There was a stark difference in how he used his influences. There was a stark difference on how he listened. I love this story because there was one who listened so well. And even though she wasn't trying to influence anyone, God says she influenced generations. And even though she didn't look at it as her resource, she looked at it that it belonged to God, this way we should look at our resources. She looked at it the right way because she had the right desires. Today, look at the stark contrast. Where do you fall closer to? Hopefully, it's like the one that wants to do the good work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us today.